Blog Talk Radio.
For tuning in to Kingdom Builders Internet Radio, where we are blessed to be a blessing. This is your host, Sybil Peoples, and I welcome you to the broadcast. I have with us today Elder Melvin G. Peoples Jr. Would you like to say hello, Elder?
We say praise the Lord to all of the listeners out there. God bless you very much. I hope you've been blessed and prospered since the last time, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity to share in this show on this evening.
Praise the Lord. The title of our program is I Please God. I also want to invite all my listeners to sow into Kingdom Builders International. You can call 312-574-0212 or visit the website kingdombuildersplaza.com or email kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com with a PayPal account. Again, the name of this, the title of our program is I Please God, and for several weeks now we have been reviewing and digging deep into the Word of God, examining the biblical patriarch Enoch and what the Bible and what the Word has said about him, his revelation and his confidence. He made the statement, I please God, and we're digging deep into that we, as believers, can have confidence. We can have confidence in the blood that was shed at Calvary, that God bestowed us with righteousness, and that we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can have an audience with God because of what Jesus did, not within our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God is what allows us to stand in great confidence, similar to Enoch, and we can even be assured that we please God when we receive this revelation and walk in it, because it pleases God that we are confident. It pleases God that we have faith in him. It pleases God when we believe his word or take him at his word when he says that we are accepted in the beloved. Elder, would you like to make a comment?
I'm grateful tonight to be a beneficiary, a recipient of that magnificent grace which God has bestowed upon the believers of Christ and the human family. Amen. We no longer have to feel or live a life of condemnation, as you said, concerning Enoch. Enoch's testimony was that he pleased God. Well, for a believer in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So God, by his mercy and his grace, has imputed unto us his righteousness. And so when he looks at us, he sees his righteousness in us. Our righteousness is simply as filthy rags before God. And the reason why he esteems it is that because there's nothing that is superior to the finished work of Calvary. Amen. And I'm thankful to God today to understand that I'm not laboring to find favor and righteousness with God, praise the Lord, but I'm laboring in a vineyard free of condemnation with the opportunity to serve humanity and the opportunity to be a witness for the Lord and to bring many to Christ.
Amen. And that's what it's all about, that we are witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our life, all that we do, all that we represent Christ in the world, that the world would see Jesus. The word says that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that is also our call, commission, to go ye into all the world, that our purpose should be, as Jesus, to seek and save that which is lost. Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I also wanted to mention that you can reach Elder Peoples at Melvin Peoples at Yahoo, and that's MelvinPeoples at yahoo.com. Also, you can reach him at his first name, last name, at Gmail. So you can either use Yahoo or Gmail. The ministry of Elder Melvin G. Peoples is Mending God's People. Peoples, a ministry designed to reach and help those who have had ministry hurts and devastations and all kind of confusions, those who have pulled away from the body of Christ and refusing to connect with other believers because of unfortunate events and all types of tragedies that have hurt people and tried to destroy their faith. He is anointed by God to lend and to reach out and help heal those in those situations. Elder, did you have a comment about the ministry, Mending God's People?
Yes, the ministry of Mending God's People. God gave me the title some years back. It's actually my initials of MGP, Melvin G. Peoples, which through the acronym God gives, Mending God's People Ministry. A lot of times as believers in Christ, we don't always embrace the idea that God has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. We come into the world, and many times we bounce about in direction as far as trying to find out what our purpose is. And I thought it was a interesting coincidence that my initials were MGP, but I realized that this is something that God has predetermined before the foundation of the world, just as he has predetermined for many of you out there who are listeners that you have a great calling and a great divine purpose to serve the Lord. So I'm very grateful tonight for Mending God's People. And the reason why it's called Mending God's People is because of the much maligned and hurt individuals in the body of Christ, their brothers and sisters who have been spiritually abused and misused in mainline ministry, but yet they're not castaways from God. And so God has placed it in my heart to deal with, quote unquote, the unconventional believer in Christ. And I'm grateful to God to be there for them. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, I will give you rest." And we are the representation of Christ in the earth today, and we must feel that responsibility.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to dive right into the word tonight. I was really interested in this year as we approach our Resurrection Sunday and all the years that I have been in ministry and even church membership. I've heard so many messages. when I think about our show, I Please God, and Enoch and his confidence, and our calling to walk in confidence to win the world to Christ, I thought about the resurrection of Christ, and how even that, or let me change the wording on that, the resurrection of Christ is also our calling to be resurrected, our calling to be resurrected in circumstances in our lives. We are called to be buried with Christ, but we also are called to be resurrected with him, dying to self and being resurrected with him. The resurrection is such an interesting word, because when I think about it, I think about my life as a whole and my journey with Christ. There have been in seasons in my life where things need to be resurrected. Sometimes I need finances resurrected. Sometimes I need relationships resurrected. Sometimes I need a resurrection in my health, just new health, divine health to spring forth. This resurrection is ever present in my relationship with God. Would you agree?
Amen. The concept of resurrection is so very, very pertinent in so many aspects of our life, but especially for those of us who are believers in Christ, and especially those who are not in the world. Paul, in his visit to the church at Rome, he made the statement in Romans chapter 5 that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the similitude of Adam's transgressions. What he's saying is that death was placed upon every creature and every human being because of the failure of Adam. Adam was the representative or the federal head of the human family. So in Adam, all die. But in Christ, many are made alive. And you notice the difference in the language. In Adam, all die. All men die, praise the Lord, because of Adam. But in Christ, many die. And the many are made alive, pardon me. And they're made alive because the responsibility that we have to receive it is that we just have to believe on him, as the scriptures have said. And the apostle said, out of our belly shall flow rivers of living water, which spake ye concerning the Holy Ghost. And so this is a free gift. And as we've said on numerous occasions, there are many times in many places in the body of Christ where people are laboring to find favor with God. And it's a free gift. Praise the Lord. It's the gift of eternal life. And we can thank God that we have that knowledge and that understanding.
Yes, that we have direct access to God because of the gift that God has given us in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, when I was talking about, or I mentioned just a moment ago about that self-sacrifice, the sacrifice of dying to self. I used to hear all the time in the church I belonged to, one of the mothers of the church, she would say, well, you have your will and you can choose what you want, but there is the operation of the Holy Spirit that when you don't choose, sometimes God will make you willing. In other words, you'll find yourself in predicaments and situations where you come to the end of yourself, and thereby you turn and say, God, yes, a greater and a deeper yes to God, to his will for your life. And that resurrection, that willing to choose to give of yourself and your will, your plans, your objections, and just another level of yes, Lord, yes, the dying to self, that the Lord may be resurrected in you, through you, for his purpose and his glory. Elder, did you have a comment on that note?
Yes, you know, Sister, as you were speaking, the Lord brought to my attention that when we talk about dying to self, in many times in the Christian community, is usually an expression externally. In other words, when we think of dying to self, we stop in the outer court activities.
Yeah.
When I say the outer court of activities, I mean no longer do we go the places we once went.
Mm-hmm.
No longer do we do the things that we once did. And so we have in many places failed to evolve spiritually to the place where God would desire us to be because we have limited to outer court activity, which was essentially what the Jewish practices were. You know, they did a lot of ritualistic things that were pertaining to the external man. But Jesus came to give us a change that was not just cosmetic
mm-hmm.
and in the outer court,
mm-hmm.
but he came to give us a transformation in the inner court.
Yeah.
You see, the inner court is where God dwells. That's why the apostle prayed a prayer, said, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. The body part, many people have that down and it's secure. But there is the spiritual aspect of a man. Amen. The soul is who you are and where you make your decisions at, your personality. But your spirit is the place where God wants to inhabit. The scripture says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. So there has to be a unity of our spirit with the spirit of God. And that's the thing that can only take place with intimacy with God. We can't do it with religious rites. We can't do it with the things that just are limited to the outer court.
Yes, yes, without a doubt, that oneness, that intimacy, that willingness to grow in grace, grow in the knowledge of Him, growing in God. And we talk a lot about Enoch and the confidence Enoch had. We talked about the righteousness that was imputed unto us, the righteousness that we didn't earn. And yet, over and over, I see in the scriptures instruction. But I believe the greatest of our responsibility is the renewing of the mind, because we do become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We're not, like you talked about, we don't have a cosmetic change. We become new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And thereby, that awesome work that is done in being born again, yet we still are at war.
Yes.
We still at war with our will. We're still at war with the Adam nature, the old mindset. And so being able to read the word, believe the word, hear the word, and digest the word, to believe God, take him at his word, is the warfare.
Amen.
It is the fight. It is us looking at details and circumstances in our life and then making a decision concerning what God has said to us, what he says in his word, and all facets of our life. We are yet in a journey to see him and know him and at war against the enemy who wants us to see it differently.
Amen. And you're talking about that warfare, the Apostle Paul said the spirit lusteth against the flesh,
mm-hmm.
and the flesh against the spirit, and these two are contrary one to the other. So there's always a spiritual tug of war going on. Why? Because even though we have the Holy Spirit in us, we still have this Adamic influence in our physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We still need sleep. We still need food and nourishment. We need rest. We need relaxation. We need the things that pertain to the natural human experience. But the enemy's job in his effort to keep us from reaching that place where we have the harmony that we should have with God by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
he uses those very things that are there by nature to bring us into trial, in many cases tribulation, and keep us in perpetual warfare, because he uses nothing more than what God put in us by nature. And that's why the Holy Spirit comes to help us to rise above the limitations of nature and to be fulfilled through the things of Christ.
That Holy Spirit, that Comforter, that Paraclete, all the attributes of the Holy Spirit, I believe sometimes, I know I'm guilty of it, we neglect it.
Amen.
We neglect it in its presence to help us. You know, I'm the first person to admit it. If I'm in a fiery trial, I just want a bucket of water, a fire extinguisher, I want out. And negating the fact that that gift of the Holy Spirit is there to help me, to empower me in the different situations and circumstances in my life. Unfortunately, I've had some erroneous thoughts that if I had God, I wouldn't be in the trial. If I had enough faith, maybe it would have been prevented. But now I know better, and I understand that in the trials and not understanding all aspects of the trial and why, there are some times after it's all said and done, I get a glimpse of some of why, but in the bigger picture of things, it is God's will that we overcome, that we have our trials and tribulations and circumstances that come to try us, they are resurrected. They have a season, they have a time limit, and then it ends.
Amen. And, you know, we can't thank God enough for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, and the language that the apostle uses, he gives us an expression that it's almost impossible to express to what degree the Holy Spirit is so close to us and with us. He says that the Holy Spirit is a very present help
okay.
in the time of trouble. It is very present.
Mm-hmm.
When something is present, it's present.
Mm-hmm.
But he says it's very present.
Mm-hmm.
And he's trying to emphasize how sensitive God's Spirit is to our circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And his desire is not to deliver us many times from the circumstances in which we're in. That's the modern theology.
Yeah.
The modern theology is God wants you to get out of this dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
No, what he wants us to do is to grow in the dilemma.
Yeah.
To grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. The reason why we have trials is because they make us better. Tribulation works in us patience. Some people have no patience, but trouble will make you patient because it'll slow you down. It will sit you down. It will hold you hostage until you arrive at patience.
Mm-hmm.
And patience gives us something that many of us do not have with God, which is experience. Experience is something you can only get by walking it out, praise the Lord, by going through the various circumstances of life. Tribulation works patience, patience experience. Now we're into a whole other atmosphere here because it brings hope. Hope gives us something to hold on to, you see, and it gives us, with that experience, that hope, it makes us have the ability to see a brighter day. Praise the Lord. The enemy wants to stand as a spiritual eclipse of darkness over all of the bright promises of God. Amen. And so the Lord takes us through these trials because if we're going to fulfill our purpose, which is to be a witness in the world, to bring others to Christ, we have to know something about him. We have to be a competent spokesman and representative. We have to be able to convince the ungodly, and many times we do it by referring to our experiences. You know, Paul talked about himself on one occasion. He said, I once knew a man above 15 years ago. He said, such a one was caught up to the third heavens. He was speaking concerning himself, how God had taken him through a spiritual transformation. He said, whether in the body, I don't know. He knew it happened, but he didn't know whether it was a physical experience or a psychological experience. But he knew what he had experienced. And it was one of the things that made him confident concerning the very purpose of his mission. And many times that's what God wants to do with us. So let's not downgrade or let the enemy make us think that trial and tribulation is against us. Amen. That's a modern Christian position today. Everybody's trying to get out of stuff before God wants them to. And that's unfortunate.
Well, I praise God for your explanation, but I learned something while you were speaking. You spoke about those things with a smile on your face. And that really speaks. It speaks volumes, because as you grow in your relationship with God, the joy of the Lord, it becomes a strength for you, knowing that he's not left you, he's not forsaken you, that his promises are still yes and amen. He is a very present help, as you just described, and that you can have peace and confidence, even though you could be in the midst of the fire heated seven times hotter than you ever thought it could be. You could have a smile, like you just had a smile when you were describing God and his plan in being present with you through circumstances.
Yes, and that, you know, that's, no matter what I understand about scriptures and what I understand about God, I do understand that he's not a man that he should lie. Praise the Lord. If one jot or tittle of what God has said, the dotting of the I, the crossing of the T, should fail, heaven and earth would have to pass away. And if he promised me as an individual and you as an individual and every believer in Christ as individuals, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know why? Because he had to temporarily forsake his son.
Yeah, I was just thinking of that.
Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he became sin.
And that's very interesting, because I understand a lot of believers, they see God in that statement, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But a lot of believers in their heart of hearts believe death is God leaving them.
That's unfortunate.
Not understanding the transition to eternal life.
Yes.
And I imagine when Jesus was on that cross, he could have felt like a lot of believers do. Like, I'm suffering. I'm really suffering, Lord. I'm really going through. Where are you?
Yes. And when you look at that picture of Jesus on Calvary, let's remember that Jesus was divinity and humanity, enrobed in one. He died as a man. He didn't die as God.
Yeah.
He died as a man. He died as a perfectly righteous man. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He died as a perfectly righteous man. But that was the necessity of God's plan before the foundation of the world, that Jesus was going to be the lamb that was slain. And he was going to take upon the sins of humanity, past, present, and future. And that was a very grievous position for the soul of one who was perfectly righteous. He knew and understood his mission, but he didn't make it easy when it happened, because he had to be forsaken that I could be embraced, that you could be embraced, that humanity could be embraced as a whole. It was a necessity that he was forsaken. But hallelujah, thank God, he got up on the third day.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're in that celebratory season where people are, today we consider it Good Friday. But for me, Good Friday means God's omnipotent, overcoming deliverance. That's my acronym for Good Friday. Praise the Lord. And this is what we experience on a daily basis. We have hope. Amen. We can transition into eternity. Death has no more sting for the believer. Death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? He cried out. Hallelujah. No more death. The apostle only used the terminology of death in the new covenant to express the physical dying of the body. He had to use it so they could understand. But there is no death in Christ. There's no death in Christ. There's only life. Praise God. We have to use the terminology to make people understand the physical departure of the Adamic body, which goes into the grave.
Yeah.
Praise God. But there is no death in him. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He didn't say, I'm the way, the truth, and the death. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I am the life.
That's really important that believers renew their mind that the crossing over is just that.
Yes.
It is not the end of existence, but it is a crossing over into another dimension.
Yes.
And that in this life, we can really, really, I want to find a greater word than just peace, because it is so fulfilling and so rewarding to have, like I mentioned, a smile on your face, no matter what you're facing or what you're yet dealing with in your life, to have the joy of the Lord, to have confidence, to have peace, and knowing no matter what the circumstance, even death,
yes,
it is yet a celebration.
Yes, it is.
It's a celebration to be alive and be above ground, and it's a celebration to transition and be in the presence of the Lord. So, and as the scriptures would say, in all things counted joy.
Amen. And the Lord made a promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That promise transcends life as we know it.
So it's true for eternity.
It's true for eternity. He's with us in death, what we call death. And we use the term reluctantly.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no death in Christ. Everything in Christ is alive.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And so we use it reluctantly, but we use it in the with the idea that we have to make it plain to people what we're talking about.
Okay.
And the apostles were in the same position. They knew that there was no death. They were so confident of what they had experienced through the Holy Spirit and the things that the Lord had made known to them by revelation. They were so confident that they would willfully put their lives on the line. We just saw in the news a couple of days ago what happened to our brothers and sisters in Christ who were massacred, praise the Lord, by a religious group.
Mm-hmm.
We heard the story, and this is the reality of being a believer in this world. Amen. No matter how much we believe that the world is embracing Christianity, there's an element of hate. And if we don't have a stronghold on Christ, when the pressure comes, when the economy fails, and when they tell you you got to take a mark, or when they tell you you can't buy or sell, we're going to have to know that we know that we know that we know,
yes,
that he's our Savior, that he's our Redeemer, that he's our Keeper, that he's our Master, and most of all, he's our God.
Amen. Amen. Having that confidence, I use that word a lot, but having that confidence, having peace, knowing you have peace with God, knowing that even though you may be ostracized and lied upon and all the different details that can happen in one's life, maybe you're faced with a health challenge, maybe you are, I've had friends who, loved ones were missing. That's a big one.
Yes.
When your children, you don't know where they at, or experiencing children being incarcerated, and you're not being able to really help them in their hour or time of suffering. And the list is so long, but having that firm foundation that God has never left you nor forsaken you. Having that firm foundation, not only he's not left you nor forsake you, but yet he knows, he hears, and he cares. Because I remember the message you taught, the wilderness experience.
Yes.
Sometimes we find ourselves in the hour where patience and experience is being wrought. God can somewhat appear as if he's quiet.
Yes.
And we have to rely and hold fast to We know that he's there, and we know that he cares,
yes.
And it is a greater purpose,
yes.
The reason why we may feel like he's not responding.
Amen. And you know, Sister Sybil, when you talk about he promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, it's unfortunate that even in many of our Christian theological circles, there are brothers and sisters who are standing up in pulpits, and they're trying to convince brothers and sisters in Christ who maybe have fallen by the wayside, or who are in error, or who perhaps are overcome with particular sin in their life. They're trying to convince them, or they're promoting the idea that the Lord has abandoned them.
Yeah.
And that's very unfortunate. It's almost blasphemous.
Yeah.
Because you're saying that the very God who said, I will never leave thee. Now, he didn't give us a list. He didn't look at write a list and say, I'll never leave you but.
Yeah.
Or I'll never leave you if.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never leave you if you rob. I'll never leave you if you steal. I'll never leave you if you do not fornicate. I'll never leave you, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, we have set the bar in many places,
mm-hmm.
and decided this is where the God cuts you off at. But we are lying. It's a lie. It's not a truth. The God of the whole universe said, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. Jesus did not die to put us back in the same predicament upon which we had before Calvary.
Amazing.
Praise the Lord.
Hmm.
He died that we might have eternal life. And he wants us, God's will is that none should perish. The Lord does not want a human being to perish. And if God has a will, it is the most powerful thing in the universe. And he will use all of his divine resources to keep that from happening. Praise the Lord. You almost have to fight him. If you're not in Christ and you are out there and you're listening to this broadcast and you're not saved, you have to almost fight. You got to fight God. And you still can't win, because once he calls you, he's not going to leave you alone. Because his will is that none should perish. That's a powerful truth.
Yes.
He didn't say, I want all of my enemies to die. He didn't say, I wish all of the homosexuals would die. He didn't say, I wish all of the African-Americans would die, or all of the rich would die, all of the poor would die. He said, I came that you might have life. And that's for the whole human family.
And those non-truths, or you call them lies, those ideas that are perpetrated.
Non-truths are lies.
Just trying to soften it, right? Those ideas are so anti-Christ.
Yes.
And anti-Christ in this idea that the powerful, that God's power is powerful enough to keep us.
Yes.
Number one. To reach us. I wish I could find another word to rhyme with keep us and reach us. But the power of God is powerful enough that we no longer, especially after accepting Christ, we no longer measure ourselves. We no longer need to self-assess. There are the aspects of salvation are a closed matter. Your eternal life is a closed matter.
Yes.
God being present is a closed matter, and on and on and on. And the idea that, okay, I fell, or I messed up big time, no way can God forgive me, or I keep asking God to forgive me over and over again. The power of God is so powerful, and we have negated it by reversing things. Like, I would hear this over and over again. God is not going to strive always with man, which was spoken in the New Testament, and that we as believers should not straddle the fence. In that idea that our works is going to keep God present, or our not falling or failing will bring some kind of position with God.
Yes.
It's the other way around. His power transforms us.
Yes.
It is his omnipresence that that makes the difference. We can have things that we're trying to overcome, addictions, problems, just ways in our nature that are unconquerable through our effort. Well, when we get the truth, and the truth is when we turn to God and humble ourselves as little children, thereby his power has an opportunity to break those yokes.
Yes.
And to deliver us, but yet we're hearing all the opposite. We're hearing the enemy's lies through the people of God saying, "Well, will you get right, or when you fix it, or you are responsible for something that is going to make it happen." And our responsibility is to receive and let this power be its greatest.
Amen. You know, in no way are we trying to imply that there are no consequences for disobedience.
Yes.
But the beauty of it is the Bible says the Lord chastens those we love.
Yes.
And it says despise not the chastening of the Lord. Amen. And the chastening in Greek terminology is like a cat of nine tails. It was a apparatus used to issue out punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very, very painful consequence. But those he loved, he chastened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like we raise natural children. Amen. Some parents, some modern parents don't believe in using the rod. But if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. Now, the rod, of course, does not have to be a physical rod.
Yeah.
It can be consequences. Praise the Lord. But my point is this. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And who does he love? Those whom he has imparted his spirit, those whom us who he has made covenant with. He loves us and he chastens us. He makes us better.
Mm.
But in the theological community of the church, for people to stand in the pulpit and take hope away from a believer, it is the ultimate insult to the finished work of Calvary.
Yes.
Praise God. Jesus died that we might have life, and God forbid if I get in the way of it as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I never take hope away from a brother or sister. I don't care how wretched and erroneous their lives become. I still have to entreat them with love because Jesus always opens his arms.
Yeah.
He says, come unto me, all ye that burden and the heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me, praise the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet. He says, I'll clean you up. Just come on, let's talk. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
And the biblical examples that we have, they're very broad. Because in the scriptures, you got adulterers, you got murderers, you have liars.
We had nothing else to choose from.
You got people who ran from God,
amen,
ended up in the belly of the big fish.
Yes.
You just have such a variety of examples that you can really be encouraged by.
Yes.
Because if in those cases, they were restored by God, how much more for you?
Amen. You know, you make a very beautiful point, because think about how God, when he chose these broke-down, wretched, sinful folks. And I mean, you know, you got good sinners and bad sinners. You got sinners that they keep their sin in the inner court.
Yeah.
And then you got some that were outer court sinners. Everybody know they messed up.
Yeah.
But what God did, when he put together human history, and for the purpose of our reading, those of us who would have faith in the future and the recording of the scriptures, he seemed to put a very, very great share of broke down, as we say, ratchet folks,
yeah,
in the plan, so that we can all find ourselves through somebody.
Yeah.
Amen. Moses, the lawgiver. Yeah, but kill people. You know? And so it goes on and on and on. And so, you know, we are not left without a witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so knowing what we know about Christ and his purpose and his love, we should always make sure that no matter where a brother or sister is in their spiritual journey, and they perhaps have fallen off the wagon, so to speak, and they're not doing so well, we should never take hope away from them. If Jesse Jackson could say keep hope alive, how much more should believers in Christ?
Yes. Maintain hope and be willing to extend grace.
Amen.
Because grace is why we are who we are. And that being Christ in the world, we should share grace.
Amen.
We should have grace for people. I think sometimes Christians, I remember this at one point in my journey. I just had just a love to hear about other people's lives details. And some would call it gossiping. And as a saved believer, I convinced myself that giving a listening ear to other people's details and circumstances was only for the purpose to pray. I had to learn one side of the coin was me sharing people's details and circumstances, talking about people, and the other side of the coin was listening to it.
Amen.
And it's amazing how you could take a ill or wrong or sin and then paint it up and make it look like I'm doing this and this is my Christian duty.
Yes, yes. Amen.
My Christian duty to listen to this gossip, and that's just going to give me details to pray.
Yes.
I was so blessed when I understood better. I understood better because in that particular circumstance, I understood that if I'm in an environment and gossip is going forth, and the people got itchy ears and they want to hear the dirt, and you start doing some praise another person in that's being talked about, they'll immediately change the subject because that's not the atmosphere that is being created.
Amen.
And I can see other situations, especially with people who are fallen.
Yes.
I went through that long spiel to go full circle back to those who have the erroneous idea that they've messed up so much that they cannot get back right with God. And that is one of those things that we as Christians would like to perpetrate thinking it's the right thing to do. But in fact, we should have grace for people. We should be full of grace when handling people because we are on a mission, God's commission, to seek and save that which was lost. And that is even the status of believers who find themselves in that supposed fallen position.
Amen. It is a demonic conspiracy to fence believers outside of the grace of God.
Oh, wow.
It's a demonic conspiracy because we're saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
And God's altar is always available for us, anytime, any season. There's no one. The most heinous crime that a human being can commit is murder. But how many murderers were in the Bible? How many murderers were a part of his allegiance, his crew? How many murders over the many years? And I've done prison ministry, and I've talked to brothers inside of prisons that were actual murderers who were Christians, and they were solid Christians. So it is a satanic conspiracy to keep people from the grace of God. If we ever plant the seeds of doubt that a brother or sister can approach the throne of God, it is Antichrist. Praise the Lord.
You said they can't approach.
Yes, they to project the idea that a brother or sister cannot approach Christ. I don't care what they've done. You're not going to convince me of what they've done. They could be mass murderers. Christ died for mass murderers, people like John Gacy.
Yeah.
He died for people like that. He died for folks like Adolf Hitler. I know that's not a popular thing to say, and I don't know if Adolf Hitler was saved or not, but if Hitler would have repented and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, forgive me of my sins, Hitler would be walking around heaven.
And that's the power of the blood. That's the power of Christ paying for humanity.
Yes.
That Mother Teresa and her dedication, her life dedication to help those in need was made righteous.
Yes.
And Hitler, if he chose Christ, could be made righteous from A to Z, and everybody in between, anyone and everyone that turns and calls Jesus Lord has the opportunity for eternal life and right standing with God, an audience with God. Oh my, what an opportunity. I want to speak to my listeners, anyone, everyone who is listening. I want to encourage believers to take to heart the Great Commission to seek and save that which is lost. I want to speak to those who are inquisitive, those who are in searching and looking and investigating this Christianity. I want to encourage and speak that you too can have this wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be saved, to know Christ, to be counted among believers, to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, to be a candidate for eternity. That is available to you by acknowledging, confessing with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ is, turning away and denying a sinful life. It is yours for the asking. It is yours for just believing and receiving Christ. I want to, again, remind my listeners, as we move forward, you can sow into Kingdom Builders International by calling 312-574-0212 or the website kingdombuildersplaza.com or email kingdombuildersinternational@gmail.com with a PayPal account. Elder Peoples, did you have any closing remarks?
Well, I'm just excited tonight. I mean, I think that it was a great topic, and I think it's so very pertinent in the time that we're living in the body of Christ, and there's so many misconceptions and erroneous ideas about a believer's status in Christ and their ability to approach him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, never let the enemy put it in your head that you cannot approach your Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord, because he's always there waiting on you with open arms. He loves you. And he wants the best for you. He wants you to feel loved and honored. He's an omnipotent God. He knows our thoughts afar off. And he sees us when we're coming. So know that you can approach God. No matter who says it, doesn't matter what their official title is. It doesn't matter who they are, mother, father, sister, brother. Jesus died for you. And he loves you beyond your greatest imagination. He's there for you. He'll always be there for you because he promised, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you. You can't get that kind of promises from human beings because they'll pack up on you. They'll leave you. They'll come back later. Then they'll leave you again. But Jesus is always there. He's omnipresent. That means he's everywhere you are. If you're in a prison cell, if you're in a hospital room, if you're in a bad situation in your life, all you have to do is say Jesus. And if you can't formulate it in your mouth, just think it. Think it in your mind. He knows our thoughts afar off. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. He loves you. We love you. We're praying for you. Please pray for us and give us your support and encouragement. We just thank God for this opportunity to share the word of the Lord. Sister Sybil, I thank you tonight for being a wonderful host as always. And you just happen to be my wife, and that's a good thing.
Okay. I did want to touch on one thing. I've heard you say this previously before when you were addressing the feeling that you can't approach God. I want to remind you that subject of grace, this that we're talking about, the fact that God never leaves you nor forsake you, it It's the only message that man really can embrace.
Amen. Yes.
And as believers, when we get this erroneous idea that we can't approach God, and we understand the level of condemnation, the I'm not worthy, and I feel like I can't even approach God because of what I did, or you know, I know I disobeyed, or I know I went in another direction, and I really let God down, in other words. The grace of God is the thing that it's like the missing puzzle piece. It's like we have a missing piece in us, and that's the missing piece. That grace, it just fulfills us. It completes us.
Amen. You know, so it's a natural inclination as a human being that when we have committed sin, we feel alienated from God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when Adam had sinned in the origin, he hid himself. The Lord said, Adam, where are you? Well, I knew I was naked, so I hid myself. Well, who told you he was naked?
Yes.
His conscience told him he was naked, and he hid. And so fallen humanity has a natural inclination to avoid God. And that's why Jesus had to die on Calvary to give us the right to approach God the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so the enemy wants to keep us locked into that Adamic psychological frame of mind in which we cannot approach God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the church's responsibility is. We got to keep making sinners know that you can come, you can come, you can come, you can come.
Yeah.
We have to be able to convince them of this message.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. Because the natural inclination is to hide from God when we commit sin. But he says, come unto me.
Yes.
All you that are burdened and heavy laden. And what made them burdened and heavy laden? It was sin.
Yes.
And he said, I will give you rest.
Yes.
So he's approachable. And we have to make sure that message is made clear.
And that people don't buy the lie.
Amen.
By the lie, because that condemnation, the scripture says that if your conscience condemn you, God is greater. And like you just mentioned, doing the warfare to receive the word over that consciousness that wants, the Adam consciousness that wants to run and hide.
Amen.
And even in Genesis, in the garden, when that took place, God was beckoning Adam at that point.
Yes.
Even when he messed up, he was saying, Adam, where are you?
There
was
a
calling out to him.
It wasn't a grace dispensation, but it was a measure of grace there. And that's why it's so very important that the church operates in grace.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. For we are saved by faith, and we're saved by grace.
Yes.
Amen. Believing in that finished work. For it is the gift of God, not works, lest any man should boast. There's no boasting before Christ because it's a free gift.
Well, praise the Lord for a good Friday.
Amen. As I said before, good means, praise the Lord, it means God's omnipotent overcoming deliverance.
Amen, amen.
That is blessing no more stressing. I've got a seed in the ground. Now I'm knowing and it's showing.
Get back and behave. Ooh. Oh my.
my legs and I can walk. I got the tongue, y'all, and I can talk. Even the air that I receive. I got my lungs and I can breathe. When I look around, I can see all the blessings that is given to me. Bless my family and they do.
I got a leg, I can walk. He saw the best in me when everyone else around me could only see the worst in me. Can I tell y'all one more time, one more time? I said he saw the best in me when everyone else around could only see the worst in me. I wish I had a witness tonight. All I need is one. Hey!
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
Everyone else,
could only see
the worst in me.
Does anybody have that testimony? When Trump walked you off, said you would never make it, what did he see?
He saw the best in me
when everyone else around me, yeah.
When everyone else
could
only see the worst in me.
Can I tell y'all one more thing? I just need to tell you one more thing. Listen to this. See, he's mine, and I am his. It doesn't matter what I feel. He only sees me for who I am. Does anybody know that tonight? Oh, see, he is mine, and I am his. Said it doesn't matter what I did. See, he only sees